Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
We are about to discuss the gospel for the last Sunday in Ordinary Time, which happens to be the parish celebration for Christ the King Parish, one of your two parishes.
Yeah, Christ King Sunday. I'm lucky in that our feast day falls on a Sunday. So my other parish, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, so it's a memorial that moves, it's on a date, but the particular day moves through the year, and it's during the week. So I always debate a little bit as to whether to...
Canon law question then. That's the kind of questions you get in the chancery sometimes. What do you do when the parish patron feast or patroness feast falls on a weekday? What can you do?
As a general rule, you can move it to the closest Sunday for that particular parish.
But with or without permission from the ordinary?
Oh, good. That's a canon law question
that's what
that
you
I'm
have
not
to
familiar
check.
With.
Yeah.
I believe without permission. Am I correct?
Yes. So Christ the King is the last Sunday in ordinary time. It's a feast that has a whole history. Pius XI in 1925 was the one, this is the one that
instituted
this celebration in the Roman calendar. It was Paul VI, the one who moved it to the last Sunday in ordinary time. So it's difficult for us to think about the kingship of Jesus, but the historical context was that between the world wars, the Holy Father was trying to emphasize the power of Jesus over all these changing monarchs and movements that were happening in Europe, and also taking a stand for monarchy as the preferred way to govern according to the Catholic Church.
Well, and it was a resistance to dictatorships and that reality. So yeah, there was a statement on the part of the Church to institute this. By the way, here's an example of something that the Church has believed but became a liturgical feast at a different point. That title of Jesus Christ as King goes back way further than the 20th century. But at a certain point, it was made a liturgical feast. Sometimes that happens. People say, well, didn't we ever consider Jesus Christ as King before, you know, until World War I and before World War II? And we'd say, well, no, but that's when it became a liturgical feast.
The idea at the beginning from patristics, the idea was that the title that Jesus is given at the cross is King of the Jews. And immediately there was a reflection about God gives Jesus power over not only the King of the Jews, but King of the whole world, of the whole universe. But still, for Christians, for Catholics of the 21st century, especially on a country like this one that was founded on a predicament against the monarchy, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about calling Jesus King?
Right. So here's what I think we've done a little bit. We've actually reversed our podcast today. So we've talked about the feast before I read the gospel. So let me read the gospel.
Sure.
And then we might have a little bit more to add, but I think actually we've given the substance of some of our comments at least. But
so it's the last time that we're going to read from Luke. I mean, not the last time in Mass, but it will not be part of the Lucan.
As a whole series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are reading chapter 23, verses 35 to 43.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Great gospel, because I think once we reflect about the kingship of Jesus, that the throne of Jesus is a cross, which then gives you a whole different context. And I love this gospel because it sounds like the last temptation of Christ, that the thief that is reviling him is tempting him to say, save yourself, which was, and save us, which was one of the temptations of Christ, to save himself, to
right.
use his power, to use being the Son of God for his own benefit. And isn't that the temptation that we all feel, to save ourselves, to serve ourselves? And at the cross, Jesus once again resists that temptation.
At the very beginning of his public ministry and right here, right at the end, here in Luke's gospel, you're right, that same temptation and a reminder to us of how strong that is and how often we give into it in small and in larger ways of us wanting to be God. And this goes back, of course, to Adam and Eve as well. And, you know, it's that fundamental reality that God has come to help us with, to save us from, and Jesus wants to help us with as well.
Like the classic temptations in Lent, it's a temptation of identity. If he is the Son of God, it's like the devil speaking. He's telling you, if you are the chosen one, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us.
Sorry. Right. Well, what I think is so beautiful, too, is just this relationship here with the criminal that is, I don't know, just an act of humility and saying, you know what, we've been condemned justly. We belong up here in this torture, but this man doesn't. But just that beautiful, I know it's not quite friendship, but it sounds like friendship, that beautiful expression of friendship. Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' reply says, don't worry, you'll be with me today in paradise. Mm-hmm. You won't only be in paradise, but you're going to be with me. And it's just a beautiful dialogue.
So one of the thieves seems to be playing the role of the tempter, and the other one, the role of the person who accepts Jesus Christ. And even if it's at the last minute of his life, he's able to be promised paradise. Very interesting.
And that's an image that's been used by some writers to say, this is our God, this is Jesus between these two criminals. And just as you have pointed out, to look at just the different ways we can respond to God based on the two ways that they interact with Jesus, in a sense. But that's our God between two criminals, not on a throne with jewels or anything, or not living comfortably, but between two criminals. That's a beautiful image of the church.
Yeah, and the other idea that comes to mind is that we are tempted at our weakest times. Jesus here is suffering. We cannot deny his physical, that was a heresy, to deny Jesus's real pain. So he's suffering. I suppose the idea of saving himself and stopping the suffering was part of it. We feel tempted, or we feel temptation when we feel the weakest, you know? And we have to be aware of these moments.
Right.
I think.
Exactly.
I'm experiencing the temptation, so I'm getting there, up in age. And I've discussed this with my spiritual director and people I know. There are some things that, because you are a little older, you feel a little weaker on some aspects, and spiritual life needs to take into account that.
Yeah, I think about that too as I slowly get older as well. I'm 11 years ordained at this point, but I feel like I'm in kind of the next season of my priesthood. And, mm-hmm. and in many ways, I don't say that arbitrarily, but I've felt that spiritually, and I've talked to my spiritual director about that as well. And a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more experience, but also a little bit more a sense of, I need time to get this right in life in general. I have some regrets about things I may have done in the past that I could have done better. But I'm experiencing maybe not the same thing, but somewhat of that as well, just a greater weakness as time goes on.
Well, we need to remind our listeners that even though we look the same age, Father Philip is 10 years younger. So any celebrations for your parish in this particular day?
No, normally we'd have, we'd have a little fellowship, but we changed our major celebration to October this year because it's our 80th anniversary as a parish. So we had kind of a big celebration then. The Archbishop Listecki came. We had 80 hours of adoration and devotion, and we had a big celebration then. So it's a little bit lower key for this Christ King, but normally we do something at least.
End of the liturgical year, we are not like the Jewish people take the end of the year, like the beginning of a new year, very seriously. This year, Rosh Hashanah, I think that's how it's pronounced, happened Sunday, October 2nd. Ours is at the end of November. The civil one is at the end of December, beginning of January. But maybe it's an opportunity to reflect about the new year in church. And maybe new year resolution should take place now, or the reflection around it. instead of waiting for the civil year to finish.
I agree. I hope we appreciate the end of the liturgical year and just the benefit that's provided there when we make that transition to say, all right, time to leave some things behind and to move forward. So I agree.
So when we meet again, we will be reflecting about Advent already.
Yeah.
And we are changing cycles. Cycle A is about Matthew, which is an interesting gospel. It's the most Jewish of the gospels and also one that emphasizes discipleship a lot. It's the one of the Beatitudes in the longer Sermon in the Mount or in the Plain. I always get confused, but you know what I mean. Beginning with the Beatitudes, a lot of reflection about what does it entail to be a disciple of Jesus. So looking forward to this year.
Yeah, well, yeah. So we'll chat about Advent. As we look towards the end of the liturgical year, we celebrate time in the gift of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's 175th anniversary. We've had celebrations all year long, and it really wraps up this Sunday. So if you're able to head to Mass at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist in downtown Milwaukee, 11 o'clock Mass with Archbishop Listecki to close out the 175th anniversary year. So it'll be a beautiful celebration and just a good opportunity to gather around the Archbishop to close out the 175th anniversary year of the Archdiocese.
And at parish level, also a great opportunity to reset. And if you're a parishioner, to invite people to begin a new year with you, a new liturgical year with you.
So how about we get together next week and we'll get ready for the new liturgical year?
Let's do that.
All right. Take care.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.